tongue.
Yes.
Did you know that your udder is your rudder?
Yes.
Let me say that again. All of you down here have a boat. How many of you have a boat? Yeah, there's, I mean, if you have a boat, your boat has a rudder. What does the rudder do? It steers the boat, right? A rudder can steer a boat, and some of you have boats right now that are in a harbor, or they're in the, I guess, whatever you call them, that they're chained down or roped down, right? Because you don't want them to be out there by themselves. But when you get in that, when you get in your boat, maybe it's a sailboat, you want to turn that boat out into the open sea and meet with that wind so that you go out into the far depths of the sea. Sometimes you don't know what's out there, but you're going out there. But some of you, and I know I've been like this, my life was at one time stuck in the harbor. And it was getting barnacles on underneath. And it was getting all kinds of yuck and muck. And I wasn't happy. I was a Christian, but I wasn't going anywhere. I was stuck in the harbor of life. And if you're stuck in the harbor of life today, and you've been there for very long, you get tired of that, don't you? You get tired. People walk by and you look out and you see other boats out there and out in the ocean. You go, oh, hi there. Oh, can I read your book out there? Can I listen to your tape out there? No, you know what? God wants you to be out there. He wants your boat to turn around. He wants to guide you into the promised land of an abundant life.
Yes.
Of a better life in Christ. See, it's not just a better life like the world says. It's the life, the abundant life that Jesus promised us. He said, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. Let's say that again. Three things. Steal, kill, destroy. The thief. That's the thief. That's not God. It's the thief that comes to, let's say it out loud. Steal,
kill,
and destroy. So, let's make it real simple. I'm real simple. If anything in your life is trying to steal or destroy, that's not from heaven. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? You know, a lot of people, even a lot of Christians, they blame God for all the bad things that are happening. They get up and they blame God. You know what? That just makes you get farther away from God. Maybe things have happened in your past, and you go, well, if that's a loving God, I don't want anything to do with him, you know? And you get away from God. But we need to get close to him, because Jesus is close to us. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Right? Now, some of you this morning, maybe you're settled, you're satisfied, and you don't want any more. It's like, you've just made it, you know? I'm just nothing. I don't need anything. Raise your hand if you don't need anything in here. I'm telling you, nobody raised their hand. All of us, there's some area of our lives that we're not satisfied. And you know what? Only Jesus can satisfy. And when we seek first the kingdom, we seek first Jesus, everything will just be added unto us. That's the priority. When we seek first the kingdom, and we're in love with Jesus, and we're seeking him diligently, and we're putting our mind on him daily, all the things that he knows what we need, before we even ask him, they'll just come upon us. They'll overtake us. But all of us have need. All of us have desires of our heart. Raise your hand if you have desires of your heart. You have a desire of your heart. All of us do. If we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our heart.
Right.
But the Lord showed me this, and this was a number of years, and I would hear people, famous teachers that we call famous, you know, that would talk about confessing the word. Name it and claim it. You know, blab it and grab it. You're one of those word people, word of faith people. And I used to hear people and they'd say, just confess this and confess it and you'll get it and grab it and blab it and grab it. And I'll tell you what, to be honest with you, I just said, no, that's not for me. No, I'm just going to, you know, I'm just a lowly stranger in this world waiting for that old cabin in the sky. And I'm just trudging through this dusty world. Maybe someday I'll get a crown of glory in that day far, far away. And I'll just bear this sickness like it's my cross. I'll carry my... And I was taught that over and over again. So that's what I believe. I believe that. When I was sick, you need to carry that cross. You need to carry that cross. But I'm miserable. I'm not getting closer to Jesus. I'm getting farther away. But you need to bear that cross, brother. Just bear it. Grin and bear it. No, I don't want to grin and bear it. I found out that Jesus loves I wake up in the morning. He wants me to walk with a glow on my face and praising God so that people are drawn to me, not away from me.
Yes.
You know, Jesus was popular. You ever think about that? Everybody wanted him around.
That's right.
I mean, they chased him down. They invited him to parties. Everybody wanted to be around him. In fact, he had to go away up into a mountain just to get away from people. You know, talk about religious paparazzis. They were all wanted to, you know, get the selfie with him, you know, today. Yeah. But, you know, just because people were close to him didn't mean they had an intimate relationship with him. Let that sink in. There were people that were close to Jesus, but they didn't have an intimate relationship with him. You know, people could come to church, but they don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus. There's churches filled all over right now that they're in a church, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. That's what comes first. A personal relationship with Jesus. So that you're walking with him, and you talk with him, and he leads you, and he guides you every step of the way. And he gives you teaching. He teaches you what to do in certain situations. When you're working out in the working field, he teaches you how to work better and what to do. He helps you avoid potholes. He helps you avoid things that might cause you to fall off a cliff.
Yes,
amen.
Amen. Amen?
Jesus even said this. He said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Remember that? Keys to the kingdom. That word keys there in the Greek, it means as to shut a door or to lock. To lock a lock. That's what that means, keys to the kingdom. And I want to give you a key, one of the keys to the kingdom today that I found out when I did, my ship began to go out into the open sea. It turned my life around. And yes, my udder is my rudder. Your tongue has the ability to carry death or life. Every one of us. It's not anybody's else's responsibility, it's our tongue. It's our tongue. Yeah, I'm going to be talking about confessing the word. Because it's in the Word.
Amen.
You know who the first one that was in the confession? God.
Yeah.
He's the first one. He's the one that said, he confessed, let there be light. Right? And there was light. But remember this, and I'm going to say this all throughout this teaching, God said it before he saw it. Write that down. Let this be the foundation of this, a whole teaching about confessing the Word. He said it before he saw it. We have to confess the word. There are two things that come into a play here, what we say and what we believe. It's not just saying it over and over again, but it's saying it and believing it. And the world says that seeing is believing, but think of it this way, believing is seeing. Catch that this morning. Believing is seeing. See, you have natural eyes and you have a spiritual eyes. We're in this natural realm right now, and I was talking with somebody this morning, and we're just saying about that there's two realms. There's two, you know, we have the physical realm, then we have the spiritual realm. And we're living in this physical realm, but the Spirit of God is in this supernatural realm, in the spiritual realm. Amen? And that's where we have to live. We have to live in the Spirit. Don't live according to what you see or feel, right? I mean, even last night, I was suffering with something. I go through the same things you go through. Especially, it seems like the devil will try to attack my body on Saturday night.
That's for sure.
Saturday night.
That's for sure.
Even last night, I said, honey, guess what? It's Saturday night. It's not that I'm... But it does seem like he ramps up things on Saturday night. And I mean, my leg, you know, doctors call it sciatica, you know, and it's just... And I thought, my goodness, this thing's really getting my eyes off of Jesus. It's getting my eyes onto the pain, right? And I know some of you in here, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, it just gets your eyes. And I thought, God, this isn't your will. This isn't what you want me to live like, you know? And I thought, the name of Jesus is above that name.
Yeah.
The name of Jesus is here. Sciatica is right here. The name of Jesus is here. Cancer is down here. See, Jesus is above every name that is named. Jesus is above every name that is named. So I began to say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to that. It's got to go. And I believe I received my healing and the pain is leaving in Jesus' name. Because I didn't want to be up here in pain. Right? And so all of a sudden, we started feeling better. Started, he loosening up and easing up, you know, and I'm just walking, and all of a sudden I'm like, it's not there. It's not there. Because the name of Jesus is above every name that is named. Think about that. Any name you can name, the name of Jesus is above that name. But we have to speak that name. There's the key. We have to speak the name. It has to come out of our tongue. Amen? Death and life are in the power of our tongue. And again, I used to hear this all the time. But until it got from here to here, it didn't change my life. But now I know it's true. See, don't read a book and just do it because you read it in a book. You have to do it because it's yours. It's rhema. You know it's true.
That's right.
And it did. It changed my life. My rudder was changed, and I realized I could change the direction of my life in Christ with my udder. My udder will change things. Amen? So I began to say, you know what? If my udder is my rudder, I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. While I'm in pain, I say that, because my ship is in the port, but I need to change.
Yes.
I need to be transformed, right? We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen. With God's word.
Yes.
And so I began to change my life by saying that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Amen.
Right? By 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed. He bore upon his body sickness and disease. Because that was the result of sin, the curse of the law. Realize that. It was on his body. He bore sciatica in his body on the cross. He bore cancer in his body on the cross. Because all the results of sin were sickness and disease. So any name he can name, you're dealing with things in here, a name, and it's okay to name it because the name of Jesus is high.
Amen.
Higher.
Amen.
Than any name that is named. You don't deny that name is down here, but you do deny its right to be above the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The name of Jesus is above every name that is named. So at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every doctor will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every doctor will confess you're healed. You're changing. Your body is healing. Your body is changing. Your body is healing. That which is in there is dissolving. That cancer is leaving. That sciatica is gone. That colitis is left. That colitis is gone. I go to doctors. I love doctors because there are times you go to a doctor, I get physicals. I get checked up. And I had colitis in my body for many, many years. And I just, you know, I had to get one of those, I won't mention the name, but it starts with C. Where they get real personal with you. That's all I'll say. But I knew that. And I just knew the doctors would come out and say, well, that old colitis is still there. You got it. But you know what? I have inside information.
Yes.
I got inside information. So I would just every day I'd say, thank you, Lord, that he'll go in there and he won't even mention that there's anything there. I won't even mention it. Did I say something funny? I got some inside information. So what they did, they went through the whole process, you know, and oh, what a joy it was. And I was waiting for him to come out and say, well, that old stuff is still there. But you know what? He didn't even say it. Because it was gone. It was gone. It was gone.
Amen.
And you know what? I just walked away. You know, I mean, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And the same thing that happens to me can happen to you. The name of Jesus is above every name. Whatever it is that the enemy is trying to throw against you, the name of Jesus is above every name. But I had to do something with my tongue. I had to remember that I have to put a watch over my tongue. What am I saying? What am I going to say about this situation? Because there's a mouth and tongue and heart connection. Because Romans 10, 8 through 10, let's get scripture for this because it's all from God's word. The Bible says in Romans 10, 8 through 10, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy what? Mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach or proclaim. That if thou shalt confess with thy what?
Mouth
and the mouth of the Lord Jesus and shalt what?
Believe
in thine
heart.
That God hath raised her from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now look at verse 10. I always say this because verse 10 is really, it could come before verse 9. Because it's in verse 10, For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession or profession is made unto
salvation.
Some of you that are students of the word, you like to do word studies, look up the word salvation. It's the word salvation, soteria, which actually means more than just, you know, eternal life. It's being delivered. It's health and healing.
Yes.
It's everything to be made whole. Your salvation, you're saved from sickness and disease. You're saved from poverty. You're saved from all the curse of the law. Amen. This is what we have right now. We have. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One time I was pinned down by somebody, and they didn't believe what I was preaching. They thought I was one of those, you know, quacks out there. Kind of quack, quack. And he tried to pin me down. He said, "What is it that you teach down there? What is it that you teach?" And he was trying to corner me into something. And I just, "Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost?" And I just, all of a sudden out of my mouth, I said, "I preach the goodness of God. I preach the goodness of God. I preach the goodness of God." What can you say about that? God is good. I preach the goodness of God. He's good, and he loves you. And you're getting faith this morning by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
Romans 10:17 says, "Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Not just having heard, but hearing and hearing. Now let me ask you a question this morning. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with your healing? Are you satisfied with your where you're living, your finances? Yes, God's concerned about your finances. He wants your finances to be involved in your life. Are you satisfied with your life in Christ right now? Not talking about the world, but your life in Christ. Are you satisfied? Well, let's see what in Proverbs it says this. Proverbs 18:20-21. A man's belly shall be
satisfied.
Okay, why or how? With the fruit of his mouth and with increase of his lips shall he be filled. And then he says, death and life, sickness and healing, poverty and prosperity are in the what?
Power
of the
tongue.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when something comes against me, I'm ready to blame somebody. It's got to be somebody. It's got to be somebody else. Oh, it's that organization I belong to. Oh, it's my neighbor. Oh, it's my family. And that has been going on since day one. It's that woman that you got me. That's right. She's the one. Wasn't Eve's fault. It was the man's fault, actually. The man was supposed to tend the garden and make sure that the enemy would not come in. So it doesn't get men, it doesn't get off, us off the hook.
Right.
We're the ones that are responsible for our families. So those of you that have families, we have to watch out for our families and make sure if the enemy's coming in, you make sure he doesn't come in. So we have, we got real quiet in here when I started talking about the garden. But as you are, our words, let's look at Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20, when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we what?
Ask
or think. Now let's look at those two things. Ask and think. You know, when you speak, when you say something, God said and then he saw. Think about that. God said and he saw. Here's the key the Holy Spirit taught me. He said, when you say, remember God said, let there be light. When you say, thank you, Lord, according to your word, I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Your healing virtue is flowing through my body right now to every organ and fiber and cell. I have the mind of Christ. I've not been given the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. I'm healed and delivered from depression and heaviness. My hearing is strong. I have 20/20 eyesight. My nasal passages are strong. My throat is strong. My shoulders are strong. My back is strong. Praise God. My hips and my body and my legs are strong. I run and I'm not weary. I walk and I'm not faint. Praise God. The anointing is on me, in me, and upon me. I've got favor. The Lord is on me. Praise God. Angels are surrounding me right now. Woo! Hallelujah!
Amen.
So saying it. And then when I'm saying it, I'm seeing it. Amen? I'm seeing it. Nobody else sees it, maybe, but I see it. I saw me up here preaching and teaching without penny. Amen. Hallelujah. I saw me up here with no pain in my body, preaching to a full house on a rainy Sunday, and it came to pass. And I'm telling you what he taught me, I'm trying to bring this to you, that what you say, your words, when you get up in the morning, say, thank you, Lord, that I am healed. And then you go, oh, I'm not, though. Oh. And you know, I know nobody didn't hear like this, but you want to get on the phone and tell somebody. You want to tell somebody, oh, the ache I have today. The pain. And of course, the other person will say, that's nothing. You don't want to hear the pain I have. You know, one-upmanship. Oh, the pain in my leg. That's nothing. The pain in my body. And so we have this competition. But instead of going to the phone, go to the throne. Go to the throne of God. Go to where you are in Christ and speak the name of Jesus. When you get up in the morning, thank you, Lord, that I am the healed of the Lord. 1 Peter 2:24. Remember to put the word in there. Because your words. And then praise. We often wonder, why is praise so powerful? Why? Because when you praise God, that's the perfect form of faith. You're praising Him. Even when you're hurting, if you praise Him, look what Psalm 51:15 says. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. And then Psalm 71:23 says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Look at that. Praise is the pathway to victory. Praise is a path that when we get on the pathway of praise, it seems like everything works out. Everything is better. In fact, I say it this way, better is our day when we begin it with praise. Better is our day when we begin it with praise. Because our mouth, yes, death and life are in the power of our tongue. The mouth is a door. Think of it that way. Your mouth is a door. And you can open up your mouth and you can let things in by what you say. Oh, it's flu season. Oh, I'm going to get it. Oh, sure and anything, I'm going to get that flu this year. I just know it. Oh, it's going to come. And oh, it's going to come. Well, you're opening up that door. You're opening up that door, right? So don't say that. Put a watch over your mouth. Set your mouth to the word of God. I'm the healed of the Lord. Praise God. I'm the healed of the Lord.
Amen.
We studied in Bible college and we read a lot of books about men and women of faith that preceded us. Is that what it means? Before us?
Yeah.
Preceded us. And Smith Wigglesworth, during the bubonic or the black plague, he was ministering, and the story says that he was preaching healing. And he said, you know what? I can grab a froth of that stuff in my hands and it will never even affect me. And he had faith. I wouldn't recommend we all do this, but he had faith. And the historians say some lady had the black plague or whatever, and he just grabbed, you know, he said, now when I have it in my hands, it will die. He had faith. I mean, those men and women were radical.
They were radical.
We need some of that today.
Yes.
And he said, now hold them under a microscope, and I'll show you that those cells had died. And what he said happened. All those parasites in the cells had died because he said they cannot live in my hand. So I'm just trying to encourage you this morning that God's word works. And we need to get bold against the devil because he's on a rampage right now. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. In fact, he wants us to be off this earth. Think about it. He doesn't like you because you're carrying Jesus. I mean, he was defeated when Jesus rose from the grave. And not only that, now he's got a whole earth full of Christians that have Jesus on the inside of them. Don't you know he's going, oh my goodness, that didn't work. It didn't. Because the resurrection caused all of us in here today to have Christ in us,
right.
The hope of glory.
That's right.
But I would encourage you to stir him up on the inside by your tongue. Amen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Psalm 141:3 says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips." Keep the doors of my lips. Amen. You know, what we say is so important. Now, somebody said, well, what about all the confession cops? Let's just address it. While I'm here, I'll address it. Hey, we are... It took a long time for the Titanic to turn around. We're all in this. We're trying. We're doing this, but it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So if somebody says something like, oh, man, I feel terrible today. Don't say, don't say that. I call them confession cops. Right? Don't get on people that are growing in it. Don't get on people that are growing. I'm saying this as your pastor. We've got to have grace with people because they're trying. They're growing. Because we were all there before, but just have grace for people, right? Yes. Have grace. You know, one person, nobody here, but they were coming to church, and I said, oh, did you get rain at your house? Nope, nope, we don't get rain. It doesn't rain at our house. What? Now, that's when you get, you know, the goofiness comes in. Come on. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, I want to get back to when God, he said it before he saw, right? He said it before he saw. And he's trying to teach us this morning. Let's look at Mark 11, 22 through 24. And Kenneth Hagin didn't write this. Jesus said this, okay? So I'm going to say, because I'm called to carry the mandate and to carry the torch. Let's look at this. Jesus answering saith unto them, have the faith of God, or have faith in God. For verily I say to you, that whosoever, raise your hand if you're whosoever in here, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, look at that, say, out loud, say unto this mountain, say unto this cancer, say unto this, you know, whatever it is that you're dealing with, say unto this mountain, say what? Be thou removed.
Be removed.
Be removed. It be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Now, did we not say believing is seeing? We said believing is seeing. So what I say is, it's helped me. This is what the Holy Spirit taught me. He said, say it this way, talking to me, Jim. He said, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe or see those things which he saith come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
So he taught me this. He said, son, when you say it, see it by faith.
Yes.
Amen? When you say it, God said before he saw.
Yes.
He said before he saw. Now, he said, believe or see those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have. Say shall.
Shall.
Here's where a lot of people in our camp, they get discouraged. They say, oh, that didn't work. I tried it for 2 weeks and it didn't work. Right? They try it. No, he says, you shall have. There's a time. Right?
Yes.
There's a time between when you see it and you know you have it, and there's time between that and when it comes to pass, where you actually see it. Can we agree?
Yeah. Yes.
But some people think it's got to be right now. We're an instant gratification generation. Everything has to be right now, right now. But you know what? When you believe you receive it, it's coming to pass. Think of it this way. You're a garden, and you're planting seeds. Take care of your garden. Take care of the seeds. It will come to pass. Gird the loins of your mind. Gird the garden of your mind. Amen? Because what you see, what you hear, what you say, they're all entrances. And you're sowing seeds. You're sowing seeds. I mean, I like to just... You know, the other day, my son was standing there. He's just growing up to be such a man of God. And he's such a wonderful son. And I don't say that just because he's my son, but he's faithful. He's kind. He's got wisdom. He knows the Spirit of God. He's just a wonderful young man. But you know what? I've said that since he was in the womb. Before he came out, he was in the womb. And I would speak to him. in the womb and say, you are healthy, well, and strong. You're gifted private intelligence. You're a leader. You're filled with the Spirit of God, and you are a leader. And he came out. We have a picture. I was in that room, and he came out. I'm ready. But don't mean to. No. He's 15, and I'm embarrassing him. But I say that to give glory to God. Because words, and the words you speak over your children,
yes,
or your spouse,
yes,
yeah, and your future and your ministry, the words that come out of your mouth, they are your rudder. Your rudder. Your udder is your rudder. See, the Spirit of God is trying to teach us today that you can change. You can be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you don't have to stay where you're at. You don't have to stay just stuck in a harbor. You don't have to stay, oh, I'm going to be sick all the rest of my life. Oh, I'm going to, sure enough, you know, the world says you got 65, it's time to retire. Just sit and drool. Look out the window. No. Definitely not.
No.
You know, you got to keep moving.
Yes.
Keep believing. Keep doing things. Keep believing God. Keep speaking the word. Keep saying, I have a sound mind, especially that.
Amen.
You've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God has more work for you to do. God has more things for you to do. He's put wisdom in you. He's put years in you. He's put things in you that other people need. He's not called you to just sit and look out the window or drive around to parks and look at the trees. I mean, that gets old, doesn't it? He's not called you to sit on the beach and dry up like a prune. Or a raisin. He's called you to live the life of Jesus on the inside. He said, see those things which he saith come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe or see that you receive them, and you shall have them. Look at that. When you pray, believe you receive them. That's why I say when people come up for prayer, I say, now, you believe you receive. When hands are laid upon you, you believe you receive. See that you're, I believe that I'm healed, that you have it. Amen? And then you walk away and say, thank you, Lord, that I have it. Now, there's still symptoms in your body. There's still things that are screaming at you. But you just, out of your mouth, say, thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Praise God. And so, your words. Let's look at our example. Let's look what God said. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God did what?
Moved.
He moved upon the face of the waters. Look at that. He moved first. And then God, what? He said first, let there be light. See, light was on the inside of God. He is light. He's the light of the world. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, and God saw. There it is. He had to say it before he saw it. God saw the light. And not only that, he said, that's good. Look at that. He said, hey, that's good. You know, when you're healed, you get up in the morning and, boy, that pain is gone. Or you come back from the doctor and he says, I don't know what happened. Keep doing what you're doing because it's gone.
Amen.
Whatever it was, it's gone. It's shrinking. It's not there. You sit back and go, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good news. That's a good report.
Amen.
We believe the report of the Lord.
Amen.
Is anybody getting some hope in the air this morning? Yeah. Getting your faith rising up. Let your faith rise up. Thank God. He said, it is good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called, everybody say called.
Called.
Then he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Boy, that's a big day. That's a big day, isn't it? And finally, I want to encourage you, and then we're going to close. We need to call things that be not as though they were. Because we want to be like our Father. He called things to be not as though they were. He spoke into existence the light. In Romans 4:17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, here it is, underline this, highlight it, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Look at that. God calls those things to be not as though they were. The word called in the Greek, you can put this in your notes, it means to call out loud. Out loud. In the physical realm. Out loud. Call things out loud. Now here's what I want you to get. It might help you in this example. When we were kids, back in Iowa, our home was the hub where all the kids in the neighborhood would gather and we'd play kick the can. Annie over, hide and seek. Our house was the hub. And we were always playing. We were not on devices. We didn't know what those were. We were all out there climbing trees, playing kick the can, hide and seek. You know, we were just sweat, dirty, you know. But if it was during the supper time, we'd be all out there. And my mother would go out there and she'd say, supper. And nobody would come. She'd little loud, supper. She was calling. And then finally she'd yell out, supper! And we'd all come running. What's my point? You got to keep calling.
Yes.
You got to keep calling. Keep calling that in. Keep calling, because it'll come. Don't get discouraged. Keep calling your healing. Keep calling your household saved. Keep calling your spouse saved. Keep calling. Keep calling. Don't stop calling. Because, like us, we weren't coming right away, but when she got serious and our ears perked up, we're coming. Right? So don't get discouraged. We're all in this together. We're all going through or have been through what you've been through. Everybody in here is either going through something or have been through something. You can help somebody else because you can say, I've been through that. I was talking to somebody before the church. And we were just fellowshipping about that, about cancer and about, you know, sickness and disease. And we got to hear this on a consistent basis. Yes. You come here, you're going to get encouraged. You're going to hear this on a consistent basis because the world will not agree with you. They won't agree with you.
That's right.
And sometimes they'll want to rain on your parade, or they'll want to steal your seed, and they'll say, "No, that can't happen. It didn't happen with so and so." But stay hooked up with the Word.
Yes.
Stay hooked up with the Word. And check these scriptures out. Take them home. Study them. Make sure what I'm saying is lined up with the Word of God. Okay. All right? Because I want it to be truth. But especially, I want us to walk in to our promised land and steer out of the harbor. I want all of you to start speaking the Word, and your udder is your rudder. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? Let's all